Good evening, it's Donna Marie Doherty with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up on this evening's bulletin, it appears the Letterkenny will not be backed as a proposed location for the Northwest Surgical Hub by the HSC. It's emerged that almost €29 million was paid out to private hospitals in 2023 and 2024 under the National Treatment Purchase Fund to reduce the elective inpatient and day case surgery waiting list at Letterkenny University Hospital. 11 arrests were made in Derry overnight following a second night of disorder in the area of Naylor's Row, and Gardaí are promising increased patrols and checkpoints in Donegal over the course of the rally weekend. These stories in full, plus more to follow. And Mark Gallagher will have all the latest in sport. That's coming up at around a quarter past five. First up in news, it appears the Letterkenny will not be backed as the proposed location for a Northwest Surgical Hub by the HSC. HSC Regional Manager Tony Canavan has said he's always believed Sligo is the correct location for a hub, and that remains his recommendation to the Health Minister. He told Greg Hughes on this morning's 9 till noon show he's had a number of meetings with local politicians and it's been clear and consistent on his position, repeating the HSC position that an ambulatory service would be the way preferred option for Letterkenny. Kenny. Mr. Canavan stressed that while he acknowledges the need for investment to boost surgical capacity at LUH, his recommendation continues to be that a hub be developed in Sligo.
I met with public representatives from Donegal, including Oireachtas members, Regional Health Forum members, about 3 weeks ago. And at that meeting, I outlined for them the position that we had prepared for proposal. The proposal contained a proposed site in Sligo. I did undertake at that meeting that I would include with that proposal, when it was being sent to the department, a letter which highlighted very clearly the surgical needs in Letterkenny University Hospital and the broader infrastructural requirements for the hospital as well. That was the commitment that I gave them at that meeting, and I subsequently met with them again yesterday, and we've had further discussions.
So when Minister McConnell Logue said that you had committed to review the decision, he wasn't speaking accurately in relation to that.
Minister McConnell Logue is well capable of speaking for himself. I can only just be very clear about the commitment that I gave at the meeting, and that I repeated again yesterday, and the actions that I've taken since. We have to look at our hospitals in the context of the services they are delivering. Letterkenny University Hospital is a satellite cancer centre. It is providing services that other hospitals aren't, and that's important that we continue to support that. It's my opinion, and it's just my opinion, that the best way for us to do that is to develop surgical services on the site through the ambulatory cancer centre, to develop the additional beds that are required, and to develop minor injuries.
Just on that, and I know you want to go on, give me your best, most realistic timeline for the delivery of an ambulatory centre.
So if I was being honest with you, I couldn't give you a timeline either for the delivery of the ambulatory centre or indeed the surgical hub in Sligo, Greg. All of that is down to decision making at the department. Okay.
Meanwhile, consultant anaesthetist Louise Morin says what local doctors and GPs are asking Minister Jennifer Carroll McNeill to do is examine a business case for Letterkenny using the same metrics and standards applied to Sligo decisions. She was one of a number of consultants and GPs who met the minister last night. She told Greg she believes Minister Carroll McNeill is committed to examining the data.
We have presented her with quite clear data, and we have asked her to request a data-driven review of the two sites for a surgical hub, because we do not believe that that occurred. Tony Canavan pretty much admitted that it never occurred. They just chose Sligo. He said that to you. They just chose Sligo, and he's not going back. So we have asked her to request a business case for Letterkenny, looking at the same metrics as Sligo and compare them. That's all we're asking from her. We don't want her to make an incorrect decision based on
but who would prepare that? Who would prepare that business case?
Who prepared Sligo's business case? I presume they got an external company like EY or PricewaterhouseCoopers or someone to do it. These sort of things don't ever happen for Letterkenny. We're never lucky enough to get people to come in and do those things for us. We have to scrabble on bits of paper and write it out ourselves. But whoever did the business case for Sligo, apply the same metrics and do it for Letterkenny. Then we're asking the minister to look at the two and actually make an objective decision. She was very, very good at listening to us yesterday. She seemed very fair. It was a very productive meeting. I got the impression that she's very data-driven. I think a lot of politics in Ireland are often, who do you know, who said this, who promised who that. But I actually get the feeling that is not what she's like.
Well, it's emerged that almost €29 million was paid out to private hospitals in 2023 and 2024 under the National Treatment Purchase Fund to reduce the elective inpatient and day case surgery waiting lists at Letterkenny University Hospital. Deputy Padraig McLaughlin says with the controversy growing over the crisis in surgical provision at LUH, it's wrong that money should be invested in the public hospital instead is being handed over to private hospitals and other private providers. He says the figures are further evidence of why a surgical hub should be placed in Letterkenny.
If you look at 2020, it was about €1 million that was handed out to private hospitals. But in the last 2 years, that figure has absolutely gone through the roof now to almost €29 million for 2023 and 2024. And all of this is happening at a time when the surgeons in the hospital and the consultants are telling us that they have a profound crisis, that it's getting to the stage that if they cannot attract more surgeons and have more theatre space, that we could have a threat to our emergency department. That's the scale of the crisis that we're facing in the hospital at a time that we're handing over tens of millions to private hospitals.
The insinuation there is that if that money were invested in Letterkenny, invested in the provision of more theatre space, in the provision of a surgical hub and in the recruitment of more staff, then those operations could be done in Letterkenny and the hospital could be saved. Is it that simple?
We had the consultant orthopaedic surgeon, Peter O'Rourke, telling your radio station again and again that he was so frustrated with the lack of procedures he was able to carry out. I mean, this has gone on for years where surgeons have made it clear they don't have theatre space, they don't have enough doctors and consultants and all the support staff. So we have an underinvestment and a strategic neglect of our hospital, and that's why we're handing over money to private hospitals instead for this care and these procedures. And, you know, it is a complete failure of government approach, but it is also willful neglect. And I hope now with the campaign of the 171 doctors supported by everybody in Donegal that this comes to an end once and for all.
11 arrests were made in Derry overnight following a second night of disorder in the area of Naylor's Row. Police were attacked during the unrest, which began at 20 to 8. Katie Gillen has more.
Petrol bombs, fireworks, heavy masonry, planks of wood and bricks were thrown at police who were deployed outside Alexander House where several older people live. As a result, 14 officers were injured and some were hospitalised. During the disorder, authorised police officers discharged one attenuating energy projectile which struck a rider running towards the police with lit petrol bombs. They've since been arrested. Those arrested consist of 8 male teenagers aged between 14 and 17 and 3 men aged 29, 30 and 47. 7 years old. Each of the teenagers and two of the males were arrested on suspicion of riotous behaviour. The 47-year-old was arrested on suspicion of intentionally encouraging or assisting a riot. They all remain in custody at this time. Chief Constable John Boucher condemned the disorder, naming it blatant sectarian violence, plain and simple. Calm was restored to the area at around 1 a.m.
The road at Rash Dodge has remained closed following a serious crash this morning. It happened at around 20 past 11. Details of the nature of the incident have not yet been released by Gardaí and will provide them as they come in. Gardaí are promising increased patrols and checkpoints in Donegal over the course of Rally Weekend. Speaking to Highland Radio News at a special launch of their policing operation today, Chief Superintendent Grady Sheridan says the next few days are among the busiest of the year for the force in Donegal.
This is probably our biggest event now in the county for the year, so we've drafted in extra resources from across the country to come up and help us police the event. There will be an increased traffic presence on the road, so therefore we're going to respond to that with increased patrols, increased checkpoints. There'll be increased mobile motorbikes and motorcycles to try and assist in keeping people safe on the roads. I suppose what we want is people to come into the county, enjoy the event and get home safely again afterwards.
And is there any particular element you'll be targeting?
Speeding and dangerous driving. So I suppose that has been a trend in previous years, so certainly we'll be targeting that again. Drink and drug driving, seatbelts, just simple, wear your seatbelts. Mobile phones, like the drivers get off your phones and we do not want to see you on your mobile phone while driving. I suppose we're appealing to passengers too to you know, call out the drivers and the cars if they are acting irresponsibly or not wearing their seatbelts and speeding, etc.
Meanwhile, her PSNI counterpart, Chief Superintendent Jonathan Wilson, says safety is the top priority for his team.
we'll be putting an extra policing presence along the Donegal border, just in terms of making sure that those travelling to and from the event could do so safely throughout the period.
And in previous years, have you noticed any decrease in incidents? Because I know that the policing presence has increased over recent years.
I would say that we continue to work throughout this period to put extra resources in just to ensure that people are safe as they travel to and from the event.
The Minister of State for Older People is pledging to work with HICWA to strengthen its powers following the findings in an RTE Investigates reports. Kieran O'Donnell told the Oireachtas Health Committee he wanted to help enhance the authorities' oversight in aftercare failures uncovered at two nursing homes run by Emmis Ireland. The company operates three facilities in Donegal. Measures are being put in place to improve inspections going forward, and Minister O'Donnell says he met with HICWA recently.
Safeguarding is an absolute priority, but it shouldn't be overlooked that there are safeguarding regulations in place, notwithstanding the fact that we must bring in legislation to strengthen that. Secondly, I met HICWA on the 4th of June and I asked them two direct questions. Did they have sufficient powers and did they have sufficient resources? On both occasions they said yes.
The government has confidence in the Garda Commissioner, according to the Justice Minister. It's after a report Minister O'Callaghan had refused to express confidence in Drew Harris. Jim O'Callaghan dismissed the report, saying he has confidence and that he also expects to bring the name of the Commissioner's successor to government in the next month.
There's a competition undergoing at present on its way for the selection of a new Garda Commissioner, and I hope to be able to bring a name to government in late July.
NECAP's Leon Oak O'Hanney will reappear before a British court in August. The 27-year-old appeared before Westminster Magistrates Court this morning charged with a terror offence. It's alleged he displayed a flag in support of Hezbollah at a show in London last November. The case was adjourned until the 20th of August when the court will hear arguments regarding its jurisdiction of the case. The band's lawyer, Dara Mackin, spoke outside the court appearance earlier today.
Around the world, NECAP are hailed as heroes for speaking truth to power. But in a British court, they've been criminalised. And today, the truth was outed. This was a rush prosecution following the Coachella performance where NECAP did not shy away from speaking truth to power.
It's 12 minutes past five. We're going to go to a short break and Mark Gallagher will have all the latest in sport. The time is 5:15 here on Highland Radio. Mark Gallagher's at the sports desk.
Thanks, Donna Marie. Good evening. We'll start with rugby. Lions head coach Andy Farrell says Jameson Gibson Park is nearing a return to full fitness. The Irish scrum half missed Leinster's URC final win over the Bulls last weekend, but a scan has revealed his glute injury is not too serious. Friday's meeting with Argentina comes too early for Gibson Park, but Farrell says he'll come back into contention soon.
Good news on most of the injuries, actually. They're all a week or so away from being fit. We didn't quite know until Jameson got another scan Monday night, I think. That was pretty positive as well. So Jack comes over as cover for this game. Jameson should be up and running for the week after.
Meanwhile, three Irish players have been included in the Lions team to face Argentina in Dublin on Friday. Finlay Beelam starts in the front row with Tadhg Byrne in the second row and Bundy Aki in the centre. Ronan Kelleher, Tadhg Furlong and Mac Hansen are all on the bench. In soccer, champions Liverpool will begin their Premier League title defence at home to Bournemouth on the 15th of August. Last year's runner-up Arsenal are away to Manchester United in their opening game. Europa League winners Tottenham host newly promoted Burnley, while Leeds take on Everton. Sunderland, who went up in the Championship playoff, will face West Ham in their first top flight match in 8 years. Well, with the fixtures released this afternoon, supporters have been warned by the Premier League that fixtures could be moved at relatively short notice next season. With 9 clubs qualified for UEFA competitions, there is an increased likelihood that games will be rescheduled if they reach the latter stages. Well, there could be another all-Ireland clash this summer after the UEFA Conference League second qualifying round draw was made. Shamrock Rovers will play either Cliftonville or St Joseph's from Gibraltar, with Rovers at home in the second leg. If St Patrick's Athletic win their first round tie, they'll play either Kellu from Estonia or Albanian club Partizani in the next round. And in the Champions League qualifying, if Shelburne defeat Linfield, they'll face Azerbaijani champions Karabag. Manchester City kicked off their World Club Cup campaign at 5 o'clock. They're facing Moroccan side Wydad Casablanca in Philadelphia, and City are 1-0 up through Phil Foden. Trent Alexander-Arnold could make his debut for Real Madrid following his move from Liverpool later. They face Saudi team Al Hilal in Miami at 8. Sligo Rovers have announced the signing of midfielder Seb Quirk. The 23-year-old joins the Bitter Red, having left Accrington Stanley at the end of the English league season. To motorsport, John Armstrong and Shane Byrne are knee-deep in their prep for this weekend's Wilton Recycling Donegal International Rally. The Motorsport Ireland Academy duo spent the majority of their time on the European Rally Championship, where they took a brilliant third-place podium finish in Rally Poland last Sunday. Their focus is now very much turned to this weekend's challenge, one which the Fermanagh Donegal partnership are excited about. However, they know how mammoth a task it is with such high-quality field competing this weekend. Shane says the days leading up to the start have been busy.
I suppose time management is quite important, just trying to get a break in at the right time so you're not overdoing things, and getting your pace note work done in the even time so that everything's right, so it's done, so you're fresh going into the next day for recce. But I suppose the advantage for me too is I know where I'm going up here, because you'd be driving some of the roads with work, and I always remember, like, when you become around them last few corners and fan it through the trees and the walls, you always be wondering if you'd be able to fulfil that dream, because that's where the finish line is. So you're just hoping you'll be able to do that.
There is more from Shane Byrne and his driver John Armstrong available now over on our website at highlandradio.com. And there'll be, of course, full coverage of the Wilton Recycling Donegal International Rally this weekend here on Highland. In racing, Ombudsman staged a strong finish to take the honours in the Prince of Wales' Stakes at Royal Ascot. William Buick was on board to guide the four-year-old to victory. And finally, the Donegal Sports Star Awards Committee held its 50th annual general meeting in the Mount Errigal Hotel on Tuesday evening. Former Donegal GA senior footballer and current TV analyst Emer Gallagher has joined the committee. All the main officers' positions were returned. That's all your sport for this evening. Back over to you, Donna Marie.
Thanks, Mark. This just in, an update on the collision in Rashdoge. Gardaí released a statement which reads as follows. Gardaí and emergency services attended the scene of a road traffic collision involving two vehicles at Rashdoge, County Donegal, that occurred approximately at 20 past 11 this morning, Wednesday the 18th of June 2025. Two occupants were conveyed to Letterkenny University Hospital for treatment of non-life-threatening injury. The road, which had been closed for a period of time, has since reopened to traffic and inquiries are ongoing. Donald Trump says Iran is in a lot of trouble and the US may or may not attack it. Fighting between Israel and Iran continues over Tehran's nuclear facilities. The Iranian Supreme Leader refused the US President's request to surrender. Mr. Trump had this to say on the possibility of American strikes on Iran.
You don't seriously think I'm going to answer that question. Will you strike the Iranian nuclear component? And what time exactly, sir? I mean, you don't know that I'm going to even do it. You don't know. I may do it. I may not do it. I mean, nobody knows what I'm going to do. I can tell you this, that Iran's got a lot of trouble.
Two uninsured cars were seized in Gweedore yesterday evening. As a result, both drivers will now have to appear before the court. Gardaí are appealing to motorists to make responsible decisions regarding safety on the road. A British man who was the sole survivor of an Air India plane crash in Ahmedabad has left hospital. 40-year-old Vishwash Kumar Ramesh has since been seen in a video as a pallbearer for the coffin of his brother, one of the 241 people killed shortly after takeoff last Thursday. The Boeing 787 Dreamliner hit a hostel, killing another 30 on the ground. Two accessibility projects in Donegal will benefit from €273,430 to support people with disabilities, according to Senator Nikki Bradley. Almost €139,000 has been allocated to the Bluestack Special Needs Foundation, while Shine Drama, Music and Dance was allocated over €134,400 and will cater to people in Donegal, Leitrim, Mayo, Roscommon and Sligo. Senator Bradley says the projects will offer new and exciting opportunities for people with disabilities in Donegal to show their talents and abilities and to reach their true potential. Meanwhile, more than €30,000 has been announced to fund six projects in Donegal supporting adults with unmet literacy needs. They include the Letterkenny Community Mapping Initiative, the Growing Without Limits Initiative and the Manage My Home Financial Literacy Initiative. Taking a look now to the weather forecast. Rather cloudy for most of this evening with some patches of light rain clearing northwards. Winds will be light to variable. To conclude this evening's news, here's the headlines. It appears that Letterkenny will not be backed as a proposed location for the North West Surgical Hub by the HSE. The HSE regional manager Tony Canavan says he's always believed Sligo was the correct location for a hub, and that remains his recommendation to the Health Minister. He told Greg Hughes on this morning's Down Till Noon show that he's had a number of meetings with local politicians and has remained clear and consistent on his position. Meanwhile, it's emerged that almost 29 million euro was paid out to private hospitals in 2023 and 2024 under the National Treatment Purchase Fund to reduce the elective inpatient and day case surgery waiting lists at Letterkenny University Hospital. Deputy Padraig McLaughlin says with the controversy growing over the crisis in surgical provision at LUH, it's wrong that money which should be invested in the public hospital is instead being handed over to private hospitals and other private providers. 11 arrests were made in Derry overnight following a second night of disorder in the area of Naylor's Row. Police were attacked during the unrest, which began at 7:40pm. 14 were injured, some having to go to hospital. And finally, Gardaí are promising increased patrols and checkpoints in Donegal over the course of the rally weekend. Speaking to Highland Radio News at a special launch of their policing operation today, Chief Superintendent Grady Sheridan says the next few days are among the busiest of the year for the force in Donegal. That's all for now from the newsroom. Back with more at 6 o'clock. The obituary notice. 18th. The death has taken place of Maria Duffy, née Bradley, 52, Avish Square, Strabane, and formerly of the Orchard, Yerney Road, Strabane, reposing at her daughter Anna Gallagher's home, Craig Adoz, St Johnston, today from 8pm. Funeral leaving her daughter's home on Friday at 9am for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 10am. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10pm to 11am. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has taken place of Jerry Gallagher, 6 Bayview, Cairn Donagh. His remains will be reposing at his home from 12 noon tomorrow. Removal from there on Saturday at 10:30 to the Sacred Heart Church, Cairn Donagh, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Requiem Mass can be viewed live on churchmedia.tv. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Donegal Hospice Fund, care of any family member or Kelly's funeral directors. Family time, please, from 10pm to 12pm. The death has taken place of Barney Carr, Upper Carrigart, leaving the Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountaintop, Letterkenny, tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock, going to the Church of St John the Baptist to repose overnight. Funeral Mass on Friday morning at 11 o'clock, followed by private cremation in Lakelands Crematorium, Cavan. The death has taken place of Maura McFadden, Bridge End, Melton. Remains are reposing at her home. Requiem Mass on Friday morning at 11 o'clock in St Mary's Church, Melton, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family time from 10pm until 10am and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only. Donations if desired to Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. The death has occurred of James McGrath, 73, Ballymongan Road, Killeater, Kesselderg, reposing at the family home until 10 o'clock this evening and again tomorrow from 11am to 10pm. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 11:20 for Requiem Mass at 12 noon in St Patrick's Church, Ahiarn, followed by interment in the adjoining churchyard. The Mass can be viewed via the parish webcam. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Kesselderg Patients Comfort Fund and Terminally Ill Fund, care of any family member or Charles Lynch Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Dara McDermott, Calhame, Letterkenny, reposing at the residence of her parents Paddy and Gabrielle McDermott, Calhame, Letterkenny. Requiem Mass on Friday morning at 11am in St Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, followed by burial in Newlech Cemetery. Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family time on the morning of the funeral and family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Gynaecology Ward, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member.
The death has taken place of Mary Gallagher, Niamh Hegarty, 292, Coolattie, Lifford, reposing at a residence today until 10 p.m. Funeral from there tomorrow afternoon at 20 past one for Requiem Mass at 2 o'clock in St. Patrick's Church, Murlough, followed by interment in the adjoining churchyard. Family time, please, before the funeral tomorrow. The death has occurred of Norita O'Boyle, Ní Galvin, Ballyrain, Letterkenny and formerly of Dunkineely, reposing at her late residence today, concluding with rosary at 9 p.m. Funeral from there tomorrow, going to the Church of the Irish Martyrs, Ballyrain, Letterkenny for 11 a.m. Requiem Mass, which can be viewed online on the Irish Church of Martyrs YouTube channel. Burial afterwards in the family plot in Conwell Cemetery. Family time, please, before the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Pascal Blake, funeral director. The death has taken place of Margaret Monagle, Letteror Mallon. Her remains are reposing at her home. Removal from there tomorrow afternoon at 1:30 to St Mary's Church Lag for 2 o'clock Requiem Mass, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.